Welcome to the Jimmy and Nate podcast. We hope this wasn't a mistake. If it was, please stay. And remember, you can listen to the podcast whilst you're...
shaving. Whilst you're shaving.
You absolutely can.
Any part of your body.
When I shave, I always listen to a podcast.
Yeah.
Do you actually?
Yeah.
Well, for some people, it takes longer than others. You know what I mean? And depending on how much of your body you are shaving. You know what I mean? Like, if you're just doing a little touch-up on your face, doesn't take that long.
No.
But if you're doing a full body,
yeah,
you know,
if it's like
groom,
an everything below the eyebrows kind of situation.
Absolutely.
No, I leave the chest. I usually shave.
I used to wax the chest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not anymore. For footy purposes, mate.
Yeah, for strapping.
Oh, for strapping. Yeah. You don't play footy anymore. Nah, strapping.
Do you ever do the shave your ankles? Grace, you probably don't know this, but when you get strapping tape put on your body, you usually shave the area so you're not ripping the hair off all the time.
Mm. Yep.
So I have bad ankles, so I used to shave my ankles for the strapping tape. But did you ever, like, eventually just go all the way up?
Absolutely.
See what it feels like?
100%. Yeah. 100%. Feels so
did
nice.
Did you like it?
Loved it. And tell you what, I don't know. So when you fully shave your legs, then you get into fresh sheets.
Yeah, that's my favourite
so
feeling
nice.
In the world.
How good is that?
Such
nice.
A good feeling.
I got to the point where, you start with, you just do the start of your ankle. The ankle hair, my hair around my ankle is completely different to my leg because I was just doing the ankle hair. You know, it grows differently. And then when you do the whole leg, game changer.
Should bring it back.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was shamed. I was shamed by my friends for shaving my whole leg.
Do you need new friends, Jimmy?
I barely talked to most of them.
Well, when Jimmy and I lived to it, we would just shave each other. That was a... Wednesday night.
Yeah, I know you're joking, but remember that other day I texted you? I was like, can you come over and shave me?
No, that was 100% true.
You put it up on your Instagram.
We have shaved each other many a times. Yeah. The reason I bring it up is because on this podcast, you'll hear it. We ask people to have a bit of a humble brag about the part of their body that they love. And one lady, we did get into talking to about shaving with her, or waxing and the heavy machinery she might need.
I don't want to give too much away, but yeah, it's this is. I'm going to sit and listen to this podcast afterwards. There were just so many highlights for me.
Oh, Mary Vittorino on the show.
A bachelor chat, great fun, good laughs, honest feedback. My whistle got me in trouble.
Guys, I brought up something yesterday when we were sitting at the cafe yesterday.
Well, yeah, we mentioned this on the show. This is the podcast exclusive. We mentioned this morning.
This is it. We need
someone
some sort
died.
Of,
someone need died a, and came back to life.
It's a podcast exclusive. This is the first time we've caught him. You know? It's an exclusive. Oh, we don't have a thing.
You can keep the music for this because we're going to.
It's a podcast exclusive.
Up. Yeah, this
there
is
you
a...
go. When the music goes down, it's when you know.
We're getting serious.
Spoke about it on the show. A member of the team has died before and has been brought back to life. And that member of the team is me, is Nath.
This absolutely blew my mind because we were just sitting there at breakfast yesterday at a cafe. And Jimmy, Nath, you went, oh, well, you know, I died when I was little. And I went, what?
Yeah. Now, Jim, I've told you this story before. You know this. Yeah.
I think we covered this. There's a bunch of stories that you and I did on air like when we first started, Grace. And I think Nathan and I went with our most interesting stories.
Yeah.
Because you're starting on air, so you want to come out guns blazing.
Mm.
But then, like, we never told any of them again.
Yeah.
We just really wasted
that's the
them.
That's the thing. Yeah, we wasted them for people not listening. So hopefully people listen to this. This is exclusive. And it was the story of when I, Nath, died, was clinically dead, brought back to life by my dad.
You need to explain how this happened.
No, I'm not going to.
No.
Enjoy the podcast.
No, it all happened when I was living in Sydney. I was living in Sydney for a lot of my life. And at the time, I was going on my first ever Manly Ferry. So for those of you who don't know, the Manly Ferry goes over the Darling Harbour, through Darling Harbour. It's a famous ferry. A lot of people, it goes under the Harbour Bridge.
Yeah, so Manly's like on the north side of Sydney. Yep. And this ferry goes from the city, the CBD, near the Opera House and the Harbour Bridge. Classic.
Well-known tourist attraction, isn't it?
Yes, the Sydney Harbour Bridge and the Opera House.
Yeah, both of those. And the Manly Ferry. People love it. Perfect way to do it.
I don't know if people come to Australia and go, where's the Manly Ferry?
Oh, yeah, on the Hud's a perfect way to see the harbour.
No, it is, but I don't think they're...
It's not... That's
spoken
the,
about...
That's the medium you use to see the tourist attractions, really, isn't it? Anyway, this is the first time I was on the Manly Ferry. I was about 4 years old. Super hot day. It would have been, I think it was about above 40 degree hot day. And I was on there with Nanny Lynn, who we get on the show many times, my dad and my mum and my sister, who was just born. So she was a baby. And on this particular day, I hadn't had enough water. And I didn't know this because I was only 4 years old, so bad parenting.
Don't think you can blame your parents. Sometimes
well, to be fair,
happen.
Dad did bring me back to life. And we were sitting there watching, and I mean, I only know this from being retold it. Obviously, I don't remember. And I just passed out and went into a bit of a convulsive fit and stopped breathing. stopped breathing. And Dad was at the front with my sister at the time, and Mum was with me. Yeah. And Mum was with me, and Mum started screaming. And, of course, all these people came round, and Mum came over, and then Dad, apparently, because Dad's done this a few times, particularly with me, every time there's some sort of issue, because Dad has a lot of experience with surf life saving, and he's got heaps of qualifications when it comes to that kind of stuff. Apparently, he was, like, pushing people out of the way. He's like, where is he? Dad gave me mouth-to-mouth. I'd had a convulsive fit that was caused through...
Heat stroke
and
dehydration.
Massive dehydration. And because of that, my body just shut down completely because there was not enough water in my body to help operate, which then meant I couldn't breathe anymore. Heart stopped, everything stopped, was out for a couple of minutes until Dad administered CPR, brought me back to life. And then the ferry took us to the hospital. To the hospital, and I was in hospital for a couple of days. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But was dead. Dead for just over a minute, I think it was.
Yeah. That's terrifying, for starters. Mm. I mean, I'm glad you're here, first of all, but...
Thank God you're here.
Wow.
Mm. Mm. That wild. They changed the ferry too, because they were, like, worried that this boy had stopped breathing for a long period of time.
And dropped you off at the hospital.
So the ferry route, dropped it to the nearest wharf where we could easily access... Well, there's an ambulance there, and, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Mm. That's incredible. It's so good that people actually know CPR. Like, I have done, like, a life CPR course and stuff. Mm. Would not trust me to save someone.
I would recommend that if you have the opportunity, everybody should at least 100%. Do a CPR course.
I reckon it should be taught in schools.
100%. Absolutely.
That's like a life skill.
Basic CPR. Basic CPR. 100%. Yeah. I mean, we're lucky enough that Dad had heaps of experience of it before. He's an assessor.
Isn't that wild that, like, people can, like, die because no one around in that situation knows CPR.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
It's so scary.
Yeah. Like, that is the difference between life and death. Like, that could have happened to a different family on that boat and no one there could know CPR.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you just pass away.
Yeah, exactly. Full on. And the thing is as well, and I guess this is the lucky thing that Dad was there because, Jim, as you know, and Grace, you would have learnt this when you did the CPR course, is different body types, different ages need different versions of CPR based on how big, I guess, their rib cage is.
Because you can do damage to a child.
You can actually make it worse.
Worse, yeah.
You can make it worse as well, which is, again, why I totally agree with you. I think it's so important that everybody has some level of CPR knowledge, resuscitation knowledge.
Because it's such a, like, you just use your mouth and your hands. Like, it's something that everyone has.
Well, apparently these days you don't really do mouth to mouth unless it's like a water thing.
It's more about
I remember that from my CPR course.
And it's something that even, like, I've done it so long ago, it's probably time for a refresher as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, team CPR course. Because what if one of us falls?
We'll practice on each other.
I said we didn't do mouth to mouth anymore.
Oh, well, don't worry about practice.
Nath, producer Grace, joins us in the studio because we're playing my fun new game, the How Many People Live Here game. It's very simple. I will just give you a location. Could be a city, could be a state, could be a country.
Mm-hmm.
You guys just write down how many people you think live there. It is closest without going over. If you go over, incorrect.
Can I preface this by saying I think I'm going to be really awful at it?
Okay.
I also think I'm going to be bad. Can I ask one question to you, Grace?
Yeah, of course.
Do you have a technique or something you're going by, or you're just going to feel
just
it out?
Just stabbing in the dark.
Really? Yeah. Essentially, I don't really have a technique because you can't go off landmass.
No, well, I also don't know how big countries are or cities.
No, you can't. Yeah, I have an idea of density of places, but...
you're already way ahead of me, so...
I'll be honest, I don't expect much from either of you.
No.
Because I think this is a very hard game. Mm. But at the end of the day, everyone listening to the show... It's going to learn something.
Yeah, you're so absolutely. Right.
That's what it's about.
Close without going over.
Your first location. So how many people live here?
Here.
Is Tasmania.
Oh,
let's start here in our own backyard. How many people live in Tasmania? Not to be confused with Tasmasia. Very popular maze.
I've written down Tasmasia. Sorry, I thought that's what you
one,
said.
One, Lady Crackpot.
Lady Crackpot's in there. I've got mine.
Okay. Grace has written 500,000. Nath has written 500,000. Okay, you've written the same.
Oh.
Closest without going over. You're both going to get a point because it is 541,000.
Absolutely nailed that, Nath. Yeah, congratulations.
Well, that was a softball. We started with a softball.
I knew that.
I did start. I thought we'd start easy. All right. How many people live here? The United States.
The United States.
Closest without going over. Now, this is because a journalist from the United States tweeted that South Australia had 10 million people, which is incorrect because South Australia has 1.7.
United States in its totality. Oh, jeez. I don't want to go over. The keys...
No, sorry, Nath. Half of the United States.
Just half. Just the West Coast.
If you put a line down the middle.
The whole United States.
The whole of the United States. Closer to that going over.
Hawaii included.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Have you written something down there?
Yeah.
Just doing some quick math.
Quick math.
Grace has written down 166 million. Nathan's written down 145 million. Again, it is closest without going over.
I might have gone over, haven't I?
The United States has 328 million.
Damn, Grace.
Absolutely nailed that. Well, not even done. Close, and I nailed it.
I didn't know it was that high because I was so nervous about going over.
Okay. I initially almost said 78 million. Glad I didn't.
Yeah. I almost went lower. So even lower too. So
all right. 328 million people live in the United States.
Well played.
All right, let's go over to our friends in London.
Ooh.
London, how many people live here?
Just London.
Just London.
Specifically London.
Yeah. There's no trick questions here, mate.
I don't know.
All of the United States.
All of just the United London. States.
So just not the London. UK. No.
Does that include visitors? No, just people that live.
Yeah, yes, Grace. He's minus tourists at this exact moment.
I'll just let you know, all of these are residents of their last census results.
Okay, right.
We're about to do the census.
They should ask about sexuality.
Yeah, they should.
They really should. All right, London. Oh. Ooh.
London. Closer there, going over. How many people? Who has been to London? Put your hand up.
I've been to London.
Both Nathan, Grace. You got any good stories from London?
None for the show.
I rode the big red bus. So now, yours was a different colour. Your bus.
All right, what do we got? Closer to that going over. Grace has written down 7 million.
All right.
Nate has written down 21 million.
Yeah.
Closer to that going over. London has 8.9 million.
Oh, I was so close. Well, how good am I?
Well, look at me. Done.
Grace, I really thought I was going to be bad at this.
She's won it. How many have you got?
I've got 5.
Yeah. I'm already sitting at 100%. Keep going.
We're learning stuff, though, aren't we?
Yeah.
What on, Grace?
Thank you so much.
Shouldn't doubt yourself.
Sorry, mate. Just going to ask.
Oh, sorry, mate. Just button her up.
Yeah.
Throw her off the game.
Hey, what about here in Australia, our country? Mm. How many people live here in Australia? Just, I don't know if this helps you, but South Australia, man, we've already covered, they have 1.7 million.
And Tasmania.
And Tasmania.
500,000.
500,000. Nathan's written 21 million.
Are you serious?
Producer Grace has written 25.5 million. Australia has 25.3 million.
Oh, this
yeah,
is
I'm serious, Grace.
No, but I remember the 25th million baby was born in like 2017.
Mm, well, you remembered wrong, didn't you?
No,
I did. I was correct. I just overestimated.
You should have just written 25, and you would have been
bang on. That's really upsetting.
All right, Nathan, you're back in it. If you get this, it's a tied game.
Oh, no, wow, it's not. Oh, yeah, it is.
Sorry. God, she's coming after you, mate. Minus one.
All right, how many people live up in the north in Launceston? How many people live in Launceston?
The whole of Launceston.
No, just the CBD.
Just the CBD? What postcodes?
In all of Launceston. Remembering Tasmania's population is 541,000. How many people in Lonnie?
Don't say it yet. Nath hasn't written anything.
The whole of Launceston.
I still think I was obviously closer with the last one.
I was very impressed, but yeah, they're the rules.
You. No, I know. I just wanted to point out.
No, I was very impressed.
I'm changing. All right.
Launceston. Nath has written 96,000. Producer Grace has written 150,000.
I think I've gone over.
I think you have to.
Launceston has 110,000.
Oh!
Do you want me to Google?
Tied.
Do you want to do one more?
We need another.
Right, we need another one.
We're very over. We've got to get to the news, but we need a winner here.
No, we need a winner.
Right.
Grace, you've done very well.
Thank
for somebody
you so much.
Who I really thought you'd struggle with this.
I'm going to go the population of Brisbane because they've just been announced as the hosts of the Olympics in 2032.
Can I just say,
how many people in Brisbane?
What a great comeback.
From you, yeah.
Yeah, because Grace was absolutely cleaning up.
Yeah, I know.
Brisbane.
Brisbane just announced host of the Tokyo Olympics.
How many people live in Sydney?
Don't have that.
Doesn't matter. I've got mine.
Nath has written 2.2 million. Grace has written 1.6 million. You're not going to believe this.
Oh, she's got it smack on.
2.2 million.
What?
2.2 mil. Well, 2.28, but it is close without going over.
Oh
so.
My god,
Nath, the comeback!
The comeback king. That is
you were down 3-0.
Olympic theme, Stephen Bradbury.
You
really,
have Stephen Bradbury.
Wow!
Congratulations, Nath.
Wow, that was almost a tiny, tiny bit genuine.
Gossip Grace. I have some Chris Hemsworth gossip for you this morning.
What?
Yes, I know. I normally I'd leave it for you, but there wasn't much else. So I went, you know what? I'm just going to take this.
Well, in that case.
It's time for another Hemsworth update.
Hey, this is Chris Hemsworth.
Hey, I'm Liam Hemsworth. Oh, hello, boys.
Hello, boys. Chris Hemsworth has made the nights of KFC workers in regional New South Wales after popping up in their drive-thru over the weekend.
Oh.
Very exciting. Staff at the Moolimbar KFC obviously got very, very excited. He took a selfie with everyone at the window. You can see everyone posing there. They've got their masks on. Chris Love Hemsworth's that. Just in the seat throwing up. What's this one called?
Shuckers. Throwing up a shuckers.
Apparently, he spent just under $73 and bought 15 pieces of original chicken, one regular Zingo.
Zingo.
Zingo. A big KFC lover, aren't you?
I don't think I've ever
Zingo
had
Zingo burger.
KFC in my life.
Go to Max, have a big mic.
Zinger combo meal and four regular popcorn chicken meals.
What do you get from Uncle Jack's? A whapper.
That's good. Sorry, guys.
No,
that's all right. That's pretty much all there is to the story, except for the fact that is a bit confusing to me. The KFC.
Oh, sounds confusing to you.
The Zingo.
I wouldn't have picked it up.
The KFC he went to is 55 minutes away from his home in Broken Head. So did he just go on a really long KFC run, or is he doing something else? Or
that's strange. It's a long drive to go to KFC.
No, that's so right, Grace.
What a curious thing to ponder. Yeah.
What was he doing? Yeah. Driving from your own house.
It's a long way.
Hey, go for some chicken. For a Zingo burger.
Also, was it just for him or for other people?
Oh, so many questions.
Yeah, no, he bought all that just for himself.
Maybe.
Yeah,
for the drive back,
because it's such a long drive, probably.
He just chomped down on his Zingo burger.
On his Zingo. Jesus.
The Whapper, that'll do.
Yeah, Whapper will go. Yeah, it's hit. Good morning. Jim, the Australian government, of course, is David Guetta, telling people to hurry up and David Guetta the vaccine. the vaccination rollout chiefs, though, they have come out and said everyday celebrities, we're talking people like Ash Barty and Hugh Jackman, they are needed.
Don't have a sound effect for Hugh Jackman.
I do, but I'll get to that. are needed for mass market ad campaigns to convince hesitant groups to get the COVID-19 jab. So they're trying to convince people who are freaking out or aren't getting it or not looking to get it to go and do it, and using people like Ash Barty and Hugh Jackman to do so. They think those two people are very influential, especially Ash Barty at the moment, number one tennis player, absolute inspiration. They think these people would be effective in encouraging others to go and get the vaccine.
Look, I don't know if it works, because I saw an ad last night for the first time. I don't know if you've seen the ad. We haven't spoken about it.
I think I know who it might be.
The David Boone ad?
David Boone. He's on Claremont Golf Course, it looks like.
So, Booney, I love Booney. Yeah. He's not super enthusiastic. Well, you guys need to do your bit and get the vaccine.
Yeah, and then there's a video of him getting the vaccine.
And then there's a, yeah, and so there's a, and also, well, let's just talk golf as well. He hits a putt from about 30 foot out.
What a shot.
And it just drops in the hole.
Absolutely.
Did we need that in the vaccination ad?
No.
Also, I'll just hold that point. Then there's also he hits a drive and someone goes, "Great shot, Booney."
Who's that guy?
Do we need that in the ad? Is it an ad for golf or is it an ad for vaccines? Now, I will say, is that what got Booney over the line? Like, someone picks up the phone and goes, "Hey, David, we're thinking about doing a vaccination campaign. Get you doing?" He goes, "Oh, yeah, mate, I'll do it. But it needs to be on a golf course and I need to sink a 30-footer.
Yeah.
And someone needs to yell at the background that I have a great drive down the middle."
Yeah, I've already scripted it for you guys. Or unless they said, "Hey, Booney."
Because there's no need to have that stuff in the ad. There is a close-up of the ball going into the hole.
Well, unless they said, "Booney, we want to film this ad tomorrow. Oh, where are you, mate? Can you come to the studio?" "No, mate, I'll be on Claremont Golf Course. You come to me." So...
Which I guess,
the situation.
Was, even in the there's no one else out there, so they've got someone. Someone's job was to go out with Booney and go, "Great shot, Booney."
Well, mate, I'll
anyway,
be
it on. Didn't make me. I'll tell you what. I saw the ad. It didn't make me want to get the vaccine, but I want to play some golf.
I want to be a vaccine ambassador now, because I saw the ad and straight away I got my vaccine yesterday. Got my vaccine yesterday after seeing it. But so there's a university narratologist who's someone in charge of like human perception. So they study how people are influenced by other people.
What's it called?
Narratologist. I had to Google it.
I've never heard of it.
No, his name's Professor Tom Van Laer, and he said a targeted approach headlined by believable, authentic role models, like David Boone, is what's needed to improve Australia's overall vaccination levels. I thought potentially they could use specific campaigns with Ash Barty and Hugh Jackman. Hugh Jackman could be Hugh Vaxman. This is the greatest jab. Jab. Works, doesn't it?
No, it does.
And that's then you really could, Ash Barty, she could be the face of AstraZeneca.
Ooh, yeah, no, that's good.
It's so, good. You know what I mean? Just targeted campaigns.
Yeah.
And then you've got, of course, Boonie on the golf course, which is
doing his bit for Claremont Golf Club.
Jim, she's from The Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise. She's a friend of the show. She's just had a little baby named Summer, and she lives down here with her daughter Chanel and her partner Connor. Please welcome friend of the show, Mary Vicerino.
Yay! I'm back, guys! Yay! Thanks for having me.
You're back, Mary.
I'm back.
We haven't seen you since you gave birth to Summer.
Yes.
How did that go? Tell us how little Summer is going.
Summer is doing very well. She's 4 months old. She's getting chubby, drinking lots of milk. You know, what a journey. You know, I pretty much gave birth to her by myself with Connor's mom on my side because Connor was away.
Right.
But what an adventure. I want to have another one, but yeah.
We were just saying to us off air, you want to have a boy.
I want a boy next, the male heir to the throne that's going to carry.
You want a little army essentially following you around.
Following me, and I'll be the general.
Have you done any Googling or to figure out how to have a boy? Is there any techniques or anything?
I did, actually. Yeah, yeah. Oh. I did.
What did they say?
Can I talk about this stuff?
Yeah, absolutely you can. Yeah, of course you can.
You know, you have to make sure, you know, it's all about positions,
yep,
the right day of the month, sure, body temperature. So there's a lot of little tricks that you can do. I was like, should I do IVF? But apparently you cannot do gender selection.
Right.
So I'm going to keep trying. You know, it's always fun trying anyway.
Yes. How do you make a baby on the Jimmy and Alex show?
So essentially to have a boy, you've got like a little checklist of things that
exactly,
you want to go through to make sure.
Exactly. So, you know, guys, pay attention to that right day. There's a right week for that, right days.
What is without getting into too much detail, what is the position that you need to be in apparently? Can you say
that?
You
know, the people that travel the world that are called missionaries.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, missionary Mary Vicerino, which is good.
And also, I believe it was your birthday this week. Happy birthday.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Yes. So it was my birthday on Tuesday. I was like, okay, I had to work. You know, I just started working. But I'm like, that's fine. I'm going to make that cash. And then I'm like, okay, let's see what Connor's going to give me. You know, love him to bits. But I'm sorry, Connor, you're listening to this. But another perfume to my collection. So I'm going to be opening a new Meyer shop soon. And you guys can come around, you know, shop for some perfumes to give to your friends because I'll have all of them.
Yeah, I've heard. Yeah, she's got a whole shed full of perfumes now. Yeah.
But no ring.
No ring.
A lot of perfumes.
Exactly.
With no
a
ring.
Lot of perfume with no ring. So I feel like by the end of the year I might have to make some tough calls.
Yeah, you're missionary Mary to stick around, Connor.
Exactly.
Need a ring.
Exactly. I'm a catch, you know, so not happening. I'm just going to have to.
Come back on The Bachelor. You could be the Bachelorette.
You never know, right?
Absolutely. Well, we're going to go to someone when we come back. We'll talk all things Bachelor. But I did want to ask as well, your daughter Chanel, how is she going with a new sister in the picture as well?
Chanel is the babysitter that I always needed in my life, and I didn't have it, you know.
Yeah.
Not that I'm like, this is not like child labor, guys, but
you pay her well.
I pay her well with lots of chocolates, Fredo frogs, and stuff like that. But she's great. She wakes up, I want to have a cuddle, I want to have a cuddle. I'm like, go get your sister. She goes in, get her sister, and then I'm like, okay, do you want to feed her? No, she's gonna spill on me. I'm like, that's fine, doesn't matter. What about changing a nappy? No, that's too much, mommy. I'm like, that's okay, just give her a cuddle then.
At least we know where the line is, so
yeah,
as far as, yeah, okay.
No nappy change, but everything else she does, you know, she cuddles her for me so I can have a shower and have a nice relaxed time. I'm like, go take your sister for a bit. She's a bit grungy. It's a cuddle. I can't give her a cuddle. Now I have to do this. And she's like, okay.
so put it
into
work.
She's great.
Which
she's
is
great.
Good. Well, Mary, thank you so much for coming in. We're going to go to song when we come back. We're going to unpack the first episode of the new season of The Bachelor, which happened last night. We can't wait to do that with our Bachelor expert herself, Mary Vitorino, sticking around. Still joined by friend of the show, star of The Bachelor, star of Bachelor in Paradise. She's our go-to Bachelor, Bachelorette expert, Mary Vitorino. Another round of applause, Mary. Now, Mary, as we know, the latest season of The Bachelor kicked off last night on Win. Jimmy is The Bachelor, which I'm annoyed at. No, not our own Jimmy, which is annoying.
Yeah, would have been fun. It would have been fun.
Did you watch it last night, and how did you feel about it watching that first the first episode?
Definitely watching. Yep. I just love reality shows, but The Bachelor is my favorite. Jimmy, it was very, not you, Jimmy, but the other Jimmy. It was like, it sounds like he was very nice. His family, started with his family there. His dad was crying, saying, I'm going to miss you when you go. His mom was very cute. His sister was like,
bullshit. Yeah,
no bullshit approach. She was like, okay, what are you looking for? And he's like, I want something nice, someone nice. And she's like, that's it?
Yeah.
Go more in depth of what you're looking for. So I was like, yeah, the sister, it's on fire. But then started with the girls coming in. The first girl was Brooke. She was just so sweet. I was like, oh my gosh, you just want to, you know, put her in your pocket? Because she was like, hi, my name is Brooke. I brought you a love cake. And they had a love cake together. She was from Sri Lanka. And she brought this in, and it was cool. And then after her, there was a lawyer. She was like a statue. She was tall, beautiful. And she was like, I have a bachelor contract for you because I do contracts every day. Was a bit meh. But there wasn't as much chemistry with the first one because the first girl with the cake, you know, she was like really close and all that. There were some crazy characters. There was this girl, Sierra. She came in with a dress that looked like she just finished doing gymnastics. And then she was talking about farting.
She said, I've been holding in a fart the whole time.
I've been holding. I have so much gas. I could be floating right now. I was like,
You know, when we watched that, I watched that with my partner, Meg. She turned to me and she said, that's your girl.
It's true.
Well, Mary, I did want to ask about the entrances as well. So obviously, I mean, all the girls that you see on screen, some people unfortunately just get fast forwarded and you don't see it.
They're not the winners, guys.
That's what happened to me.
But to the producers, obviously, I mean, they set up all the big grand entrances. Do you have any say in it? Like when they come in and they have the car or there was somebody who did like a flight simulation and the cake and everything. I'm assuming the producers are the ones that come up with this stuff?
Not really.
Oh, okay.
So in my case, you know, you have lots of interviews with the producers before the show starts and then they're like, look, start thinking about what would you like to do when you meet him? You know, they don't tell you what is his profession. You don't know what it's going to be like. You just have to come up, if you would meet a bachelor, what would you do? You know, so you just have to come up with things.
I don't remember. What did you do when you met Matt?
I danced with him because, you know, I had to shake my bum and that's the only thing I knew.
Speaking of, as well, we were saying about this earlier, I got it wrong. So there were heaps of rumours as well. I don't know if you knew anything when you were on it, that Matt wasn't an astrophysicist. He was working at a bank. Now, I said Commonwealth earlier, but it was NAB in Melbourne in the CBD.
Yeah.
There are some rumours as well that Jimmy isn't a flight. He's not a pilot. He's not flying at the moment.
He's not an active pilot.
No, he's a lifeguard or doing something else. Did you know anything about that with Matt? And have you heard anything about Jimmy?
Well, with Matt, in my season, we were just like astrophysicists. But then once the show was out, the reports were that he was actually working at NAB banking. And I was like, oh, well, it would actually make kind of sense. And with Jimmy, at this point, we're living in a pandemic. You wouldn't, like, Europe might be a pilot as a hobby, maybe. But where are you flying? Nobody's flying anywhere, honey. So you definitely not getting that cash.
We were talking about this off air.
Have you heard anything that
he is? I've heard that he might be a lifeguard. I've been looking at reports that is his actual job lately, working as a lifeguard. That's fine. Still cute, you know.
Better
be saved by, you know, a good-looking lifeguard, you know. Oh,
I'm drowning.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's been a pilot lately. On the show, he did say that his grandfather was a pilot and he learned to do that and he's been doing that for the past 10 years or so, but definitely not flying now. Yeah.
Mary, obviously you saw all the girls coming yesterday, you then get a long shot of all the girls when they're in there. We've seen the pictures of them all. An issue that comes up all the time with this kind of stuff, but it's something that my girlfriend actually brought up when we were watching it yesterday, not heaps of cultural diversity. Oh my gosh. With a lot of the girls coming in. How did that make you feel, seeing all that in?
Disappointing.
Yeah.
Very disappointing. Well, the Bachelorette's coming soon with Brooke, and there's a big representation there. But in this season, there's a girl that she was, you know, first episode, we don't even remember their names, and we won't remember much longer, but...
I don't even know who went home last night. Two of them did. I was a bae.
But, you know, there was an Asian lady there. I was like, well, at least there's something. But, you know, normally they have one person for diversity, dark skin, you know, to be that one black kid in the classroom.
Mary's got a hand up, by the way, everybody.
Yeah. They didn't have that this time. So a bit upsetting. But, you know, what can you do? Obviously, the people have to apply as well, which is another issue. Because when I apply, I did an audition with like about 50 girls. I was the only black chick there, you know. So I feel like the message needs to be there that more girls that are going to be on screen, more people are going to apply and feel like they're welcome. Like Australia is such a diverse country, lots of people from all over the world. So I feel like should have more representation on TV.
Absolutely.
Well, look, Mary, we'd love you to get some updates here without the season if you want to come in and...
Definitely!
So Nathan, I don't have to watch it then. You can...
Actually, yeah, that's right.
And every time we get you in, can you do one of those grand bachelor entrances for us? Something for us.
Like, okay, definitely.
I mean, you did the dance on it when you were on Matt Agnew season, but can you make us a cake?
That's easy. That's easy. Okay. I can do that.
Well, Mary Vitorino, we love you to bits. Thank you so much for coming
you guys
in. Congratulations
for having me
on the new baby's ball, baby summer, and we appreciate you coming in. Until the next time where we get you into and analyze another episode of The Bachelor. Thank you very
much.
Thank
you. Alpha Bucks Millionaire.
Alpha Bucks. Oh, yes, $1 million guaranteed, Jim, with Alpha Bucks, $1 million Alpha Bucks, to be exact. It's a game as easy as ABC. Nothing's changed there.
It'd be $1,000,000 if you want to be really exact.
Oh, you're so right. You know, not necessarily. Not necessarily, because you could win the $1,000 and not win the million.
No, I'm saying if you ended up winning the million.
If you won all of it, then you'd win both, really. So $1,000,000, $1,000. It's really... what we should be advertising it as.
$1,000,000, $1,000. Because, if you didn't know how it works, if you win the $1,000 with us, then you go play for $1,000,000 with Carrie and Tommy, and someone will win the million.
Absolutely.
So, in total, I mean, I'm a little bit upset that Carrie and Tommy are giving you $1,000,000 and we're only giving you $1,000, but we'll push through. $1,000,000, $1,000. That's the total.
Really, if we're really getting in the nitty gritty, it should be $1,000,000, $1,000 and free flights.
Accommodation.
So... unless you've got to pay for it yourself out of your $1,000. I don't know.
Yeah, plot twist.
All right.
Sorry, guys. Flights and a cog come out of your back.
The way it works, it is a game as easy as ABC. We give you a leather alphabet, 10 questions, 30 seconds. You get all 10 correct. You win the $1,000. As Jim said, you then entered into Million Dollar Day where you play for $1,000,000. A reminder, we cannot accept the same answer twice, and we do need to accept this first answer that you utter per question. All right. This morning playing from New Norfolk. Hello, Ryan. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
What are you up to this morning, Ryan?
Just spending a little time with my newborn daughter and getting ready for the day.
Oh, congratulations. What's your daughter's name, Ryan?
Estelle.
It's a good name. Estelle. Love that. I want people name their kids good names.
$1,000,000, Ryan. What would you spend it on?
Oh, my car is breaking down. I just started a new business. I got this lovely daughter. I got bills everywhere. So I can't even think of where
to start. You got options, right?
Yeah, Ryan, are you even more excited knowing that it's $1,000,000, $1,000 that you would win?
Yeah, I don't want to get too ahead of myself. I'm excited for $1,000.
Good attitude.
Steps, baby steps.
Ryan. All right, Ryan, let's play for $1,000 this morning. Today, your letter is J, as in J for Jimmy. Your 30-second starts into the first topic I give you. You can pass. We can come back to that topic if there is time at the end of the 30 seconds. Ryan, from New Norfolk, are you ready to play?
Yep.
All right, beginning with J, name a month.
January.
A girl's name.
June.
A kid's TV show.
Pat.
Something in the ocean.
Jellyfish.
A martial art.
Judo.
An actor in Big Bang Theory.
Pat.
A colour.
Pass.
Three-letter word.
Jam.
An occupation.
Pass.
A fruit.
Jackfruit.
Got jackfruit.
Well done for getting jackfruit. I thought that was the hardest.
Yeah. I don't even know. Ryan, I don't even know what a jackfruit is.
Yeah,
to be completely honest.
Ryan, what is a jackfruit? Do you know what that is?
I have no clue.
Well, you knew it as you answered. Nate and I were playing earlier just with ourselves. We're like, what the hell is a jackfruit?
Yeah.
Never had a jackfruit.
It's something I've heard of, I think, before.
Yeah.
Well, you're better than us. Better than us, Ryan. Right, look, unfortunately, can't give you the $1,000. We'll give you $50 to spend at Deadly Sisu, a boutique home of vintage, new, and Tassie made. It's in the heart of Sorel. Ryan, thank you so much for playing. And how easy was it to enter Million Dollar Alpha Bucks? Of course, downloading the listener app and filling in the competition entry form. How easy was that process?
Took me maybe a minute.
A minute. See, there you go.
So easy, guys.
So easy. All
also,
right.
Actor in Big Bang Theory. Apparently, there's two. Jim Parsons and Johnny Galecki. I'm not a huge Big Bang Theory. You know, I've never watched Big Bang Theory.
You know, my dad's obsessed with
your dad.
He loves it. He would have nailed that one.
Oh, your dad's listening. Going, oh, what's wrong?
Jim Parsons, right?
I was trying to think of character names, and I was just as I was going through it, I couldn't get there.
No, you're all right. We've absolutely stitched up this morning, right? Yeah. Yes, Nathan, we've just asked a question, 131060. Give us some honest feedback. Hobart, we are your show. We want to do the best show that we can. So sometimes we need to know what we're not doing that great, so we can try and do it better.
Matt from Rosetta, you got some honest feedback for the show, Matty?
I sure do.
He says with a sigh.
Yeah. Well, no, that's what this is about, Matt. What feedback you got for us?
So it's a bit of a long story, but when I was younger, living at home, my dad used to come in to wake me up every morning, and I absolutely hated it. But what he would do was do a specific whistle every time to get me out of bed. And Jimmy happens to do that same whistle every time someone wins something or gets excited.
Matt, do you know our boss, Sweet Chili Philly, by any chance? Because this is his main hated thing of the show.
Yeah. I do not.
Okay.
I can appreciate it.
So I'll give the whistle. Sorry, Matt. Is this the whistle that you're talking about?
That is it, yep.
Oh, poor Matty.
Look, all right, Matt.
The blood just rushed from his head then.
It's hard, Matty, because the whistle falls into something where I'll go to Producer Grace on this as well. Producer Grace, you can agree here that people either love or hate the whistle.
Yes. It's very...
It's divisive.
Polarizing.
Divisive, yeah.
So, Matt, let's try to come to some sort of compromise. What hours are you usually listening to the show?
From about 7 to 8, I'd say.
7 to 8, okay.
Yeah, 6 to 9.
So, if you're listening from around, 7 a.m. to, we're about 8:25-ish. I can try and limit the whistle during the hours that you listen to the show.
Even if you just change the tune up a little bit, it would work.
I was going to suggest that, Matty. What if because that whistle is synonymous with the one that your dad did when he woke you up when you're back at home. But what if he changed how he did it? Is that okay, Matty?
Yeah, that would work for me.
All right, Jim, give him some different options. Because Jimmy's a very good whistler, but provide him with a few options. So option A is this. What do you reckon, Matty?
Oh, not sure about that one. It might be taken from somewhere else.
No, we might run into some legal trouble with that one.
The major sponsor of the show is McDonald's.
You're so right.
They've probably never been happier.
All right, I'll do another one. All right, this is option B, Matty. Right. Oh, like a calming bird, Matty.
Yeah, that's somehow better.
Somehow better. Okay, all right. Have you got another one, Jim?
I could come another one. I'm just thinking, because usually I'm clapping as well, so I'm trying to think of something that's like...
That'll go with the clap.
Yeah. What about...
Yeah, I'd say go with that one.
Right, okay. All right, so that's...
Simple.
What about just a...
Matty.
Yeah, it does the job.
Does the job, okay, no.
Yeah, it just sounds like Matty doesn't like whistling at all.
Okay, given the choice, Matty, if I had to ask you, you never want me to whistle again, would you go that option?
No, I think it adds to the effect when you're getting excited.
No, that's good.
Okay,
okay, Matty, what I'll tell you, I've got to try. It's hard right now because we're not getting excited about anything. We're not doing anything. So what I'll do for you, I will trial some new whistles and I'll try and find a new whistle on the show.
Sounds good.
That's something to get excited about, Jim. Jimmy's made headlines many times for his nude photo shoots and rippling muscles, despite being, get this, almost 70 years old. Aussie golf legend Greg Norman has once again addressed the photo that was taken last year walking along the beach where the outline of his was on full display. We all remember the photo. We all remember. Producer Grace here in the studio, you got the photo there in front of you.
Admittedly, this is the first time I'm seeing this photo.
You've never seen it before?
No.
Okay. What do you think?
She's not a huge sport fan.
No, you're right.
I'm not.
Right.
Although my nan is a real big fan of Greg Norman. She has a life-size cutout of him in her bedroom.
Life-size?
Yep. Everything's to scale.
Have you ever spoken to her about this photo? She ever brought it up?
No, okay. I haven't.
Sure, she would definitely be across it.
Yeah.
Look, Greg Norman was on the Today Show yesterday with Big Carl and was asked about it, to which he responded, this is what he said. It's just who I am. Aussies are very outgoing people. I'm a very natural person, as you guys can tell. It's just what Mother Nature gave to me. She was pretty good to me. That's what he said.
So he's like 100% aware of what he's posted as well.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, very aware. Oh, very purposeful. I mean, you know, if you're posting something like that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you would know.
Yeah. You know when you're putting something up.
So. Yeah, you'd be aware of your 9-9 in your pants.
You know, yeah. As a bloke, I think you know. You get, I don't know, what age do you reckon you know?
What age do you reckon you know?
Oh.
Teenagers?
Yeah. Because you got to.
Oh, it was when you were born, really, wasn't it?
Oh, I had a fair idea.
I'm so confused right now.
I'm going to pull you out, boy.
So you were born. I'm talking for men here, right? Okay. Now. So you were born with an
appendage.
Appendage, right? But you don't know. You've never seen another appendage. Mm. So I'm asking Nathan. There's a point in your life where you've seen enough that you go, "Well, mine's either a bit
here
bigger
on the scale."
On the, you figure out when the scale is.
You can create your own scale. You know, this is where I reckon I sit.
Because I reckon you're right. It's somewhere in your teenage years.
Well, when you start seeing other ones.
When you start seeing other ones. But then also you need to see them down and up.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like a biology lesson.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you need bottom of the elevator and a top of the elevator.
Because some are what we call growers and some are what we call showers. Some are great all the time and some are just, they need to be...
Yeah.
Standard attention to really get your attention.
Need a bit, yeah, I know.
So,
you know.
But then you don't see a lot of them when you, maybe 15 or 16.
15, probably. 16, like change room kind of gear, urinal walls, urinals at the footy.
you're right.
You know what I mean? Well, he's dead a long way from the wall, isn't he? Yeah. Bloody limbo pole.
I reckon that's the
age. I reckon you're right.
That's
absolutely.
What I probably, nah. It's probably 17, 18.
Mm. Well, you good at pole vault, weren't you?
Didn't have a pole at the school, though, but, you know, just brought my own.
13, 10, 60, here's what I want to ask. Have a humble...
I wish you could see producer Grace's face right now.
Have a humble brag about a part of your body. That's what I'm asking. 13, 10, 60, much like Greg Norman has done, give us a humble brag about a part of your body that you're proud of. What do you love about yourself? It could be anything. I'm talking, it doesn't have to be the old, you know, the old Greg Norman.
I'll be honest. I think I have lovely hands.
You have beautiful hands, and that's what I'm talking about. Maybe it's something like that. You have beautiful hands. Maybe you have nice eyes. Maybe you like your legs. Maybe you like your tushy.
What do you love about yourself?
Chris? I have really cute dimples, I think, when
you
I
do
smile.
You do have nice dimples.
Little dimples. I think and I've got nice lips.
Oh. 13, 10, 60. Have a humble brag about a part of you. About a part of your body. Okay, for example, let's go to me now. I like my teeth. I like my teeth. I am going to have a humble brag about my teeth. Jim, much like you had a humble brag about
my hands.
Your hands. And Grace, your dimples.
Dimples and her lips.
And your the lips.
My mouth.
Yeah, you got a great mouth to you.
Yes.
No
just
complaints.
Go. Just go out and answer the phones. You've done enough, you dirtbag. 13, 10, 60. Jim, we just asked the question. 13, 10, 60. Hobart, have a humble brag about a part of your body. This is after a friend of the show, Greg Norman. He addressed that photo, the famous photo of him walking along the beach where there was a big outline of his on the Today Show yesterday, and he said, "I was just blessed. I was blessed with what Mother Nature gave me."
He knew what he has, and he knew what he was uploading.
Which is nice. I don't want to give the people of Hobart the same opportunity. I mean, we just went through as a team what we were proud of. I had a humble brag about my teeth. Jim, your beautiful hands.
I have great hands.
And then...
Dimples.
We had you, Grace.
Dimples on my cheeks.
With your dimples.
Thank
all
you.
Is all you said. No, you're really nice dimples.
No. No, it's just dimples.
Just dimples. Okay.
Yeah, that's I remember. She's,
no, she did say something else. I don't know what she said.
Can't remember.
Can't remember.
Let's not go back to it either. Danielle from Montrose. Danielle, have a humble brag about a part of your body. What do you love?
I'd have to say my toes.
Your toes? Why your toes, Danny?
Because they're short and podgy and not finger toes, so I like them.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Sometimes the toes can be too long and they look a bit off.
Off, yeah.
A bit fingery.
Do you look after them, get a pedicure?
Yeah,
pedicure.
True,
definitely. Mm. Got to be done.
Any jewellery on the toes, Danny?
No jewellery, no. Mm. No, I've got a tattoo on my foot, like close to my toes, but yeah, no jewellery.
What's a tattoo of?
It's of my dog's name.
Oh, nice.
That's cute. I love
nice. That. Danny, have people said to you that you have nice toes?
Some.
Why'd your voice go high, Danny? Your voice.
I'll be honest, that's good. I don't know. I don't think I have great toes. I look at my toes and
I go, I've got gross toes, gross fingers.
Yeah, I've got real wide feet.
We've heard enough about your body today, mate. Brad from Bellerive. Brad, have a humble brag about a part of your body, mate. What do you got?
No, it's Kelly, mate. But, anyway.
Sorry,
Nath can't Kelly. Read.
No, I can't read, Brad. My eyes are the worst part of my body.
No, I reckon it's the backside, my ass.
You got a nice bottom, you reckon, Brad?
Well, I mean, it's just what I've been told. You know, everywhere I go, there's people that have said, nice ass, so.
Brad, this is exciting because I don't have one. I just have a long back.
Yeah.
It's just a back that goes into two legs, so I'm jealous.
Jimmy looks like an ironing board.
Yeah.
once you get in the gym for a bit, a few squats, a few lunges, it might tighten up a bit.
Well, okay. Do you train your ass, Brad? Was this something you were born with?
Of course you do. Of course. No, you have to train.
You have to train, okay. Yeah.
So
I don't want to train.
No, you don't want to train it. So, Brad.
No, a few of the fellas in at work, because I was up in Broome for a little while and it was just something going around the town that I had the one of the fellas there had the tightest ass. And then the funny thing was that he came around and looked at my ass and then he got a little bit of, competition. He thought that I was the best one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. A bit of ass
this
competition.
This could be Hobart's best ass.
A bit of ass competition, that's for sure.
Yeah, Brad's bot. Yeah, absolutely.
And I'll tell you what, the front bum doesn't go too bad either. So.
Thank you, Brad. Mum from Cambridge. Hello, Mum. How are you?
Hi, how's it going?
We're going all right, Mum. You got a humble brag about a part of your body?
Yeah, I actually rang up to say that there's a lot of things about my body that are completely different now that I have children.
Mm.
But I just actually have to remember that it's so amazing the way a body can grow a child and then feed it as well. And just appreciate that I have that.
Yeah,
it is incredible.
Well said, Mum.
It blows. Yeah. I mean, blokes really do nothing. We don't really offer much to this world.
Oh, exactly. I was sick each time I was pregnant as well. So, it hasn't been, an easy time having children. So, I just sort of think, I'm so grateful to be able to do that. And there's a lot of people in the world that can't do that and would give up their body image for that sort of thing. So,
it blows my mind. That
it's like magic, isn't it?
It is.
It really
women
is.
Can bring life.
A human
into this,
being. A human. Growing inside you. I love how we had that beautiful thing from Mum and we just had Brad going, front bottom goes all right too, doesn't it?
that's what this show's about. It's about everything.
Well, I love
it. Mum from Cambridge, is there something about your body right now that you love?
I actually like the fact that I can drink coffee. That's pretty good.
Yeah,
that's nice. No, that is nice.
Yeah.
I do love a morning coffee. Mm. No, I love that.
No, good on you, Mum. All right, Maria from Sandy Bay. Hi, Maria. How are you?
Hello, boys. How are you?
We're good. Maria, have a humble brag about a part of your body. What do you got?
Boys, I have this wonderfully dark, thick, long hair. The problem is it's a package deal, so I have a bikini line like a hula skirt.
Okay, you say it's a package deal. So are you saying that you don't shave anything?
Oh, no. I actually go and have laser. But the problem is, even with laser, they don't even say, okay, that's $10, $15. They say, okay, bring it in for a quote. So I just go, okay,
heavy machinery needed, Maria?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
Sounds like a job for Jim's mowing.
Thank you. For wrapping up your Thursday, Jim.
Yeah, Nathan, it is time for the show rating. This is where myself, you, and producer Grace take turns rating the show out of 10. And for the first time ever, someone, Todd from Midway Point, friend of the show, Toddy's called up. And Todd, I believe you want to get involved with today's show rating.
Oh, definitely. First of all, what's Maria's phone number? Second of all, I don't care what you rate the show before her call. It's now clear 10 right across the board, every state, territory in Australia. Oh. And whatever that thump was, I heard in the background when she announced that she needed Jim's mowing. I hope the desk's okay in the studio.
Yeah, we got a bit excited after that. So sometimes, yeah, Tom, we get a call where they just do everything for us. We don't need to do anything else.
I thought Greg Norman was in the studio and just thumped it out on the desk.
What's the rating?
Want more Jimmy and Nate? Download the Hit app. This is the show. Want more access to exclusive prizes? Become a VIP at hit.com.au.